I am grateful to God that we get to be here again this afternoon. Amen. And it is a blessing. It's a blessing to be able to serve God all day long. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, the best place to be in the Lord is to work for Him. Hallelujah. Is to work for Him. People who work for God end up being more blessed than people who just look up to God for things. Hallelujah. When you work for God, you give yourself a chance at having a more meaningful relationship with Him. There's a lot more to relate about. There's a lot more to talk about. There's even more motivation to study and to grow in Him. Do you see what I'm saying? If you have a relationship with God that is just based on what God can do for you, that relationship is often very shallow. There's not a whole lot to relate on. Do you see what I'm saying? Because you're not working, you're just asking for things. Do you see what I'm saying? And a lot of Christians practice their Christianity at this level, where they're just asking for things all the time. Just asking for things and just asking for things. But God has shown us an easier way to be blessed. And that way is found in Matthew chapter 6 verse 33, which says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness," or "and His righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you." Hallelujah. So God would rather that we seek higher things, which is the building and establishing of His kingdom. Hallelujah. God would prefer that we relate with Him about the kingdom, because the thing that is on God's heart is the kingdom of God. The thing that is on God's heart above all is that people will not perish and go to hell, but come to know God. Hallelujah. What God wants is also that the people that have been saved will remain in Him and be trained to go out to bear fruit also. That is the only meaningful reason why we are still here after we've been saved. You think about it. What are we doing here? Now that we are saved, we're ready for heaven. Why don't we just go? Do you see? Because if we go to heaven, you don't have to do any difficult exams. Do you see? You don't have to do any presentations. You don't have to meet any deadlines. You don't have to do anything difficult. You don't have to fight for a living. You don't have to be juggling, should I buy a car? Should I make a car payment or not? Do I need a mortgage or should I? You know, all those things are earthly problems. Are you getting what I'm saying? So what is the reason why after sending His precious Son to come and die for us? First of all, even the sending of the precious Son is a very, very important message to us about what is on God's heart. Do you understand? That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You know, the word "only" is included in the verse and it makes a big difference. Because if you take the word "only" out of that verse, it will not be the same. That God so loved the world, He gave His Son, is not the same. But He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believes in Him should not perish. So He gave His last to avoid perishing. That means people not perishing must be very important to Him. Are you getting what I'm saying? That it is more important to God that people do not perish. People do not die and go to hell. That is more important to God than that you will get a new pair of shoes. Even though God does not mind that you have a new pair of shoes. But in the arrangement of things, do you understand? Or that you will have a new beloved, or mean, if Jesus comes, you're going to leave your beloved here and just go to heaven. Do you see what I'm saying? You just look at your beloved and say, look, I'm out of here. I don't know about you. You see what I'm saying? You can stay and plan the wedding, but I am going to heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. So there are higher things to live for. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And if your Christian life is not upgraded to that level, it is going to be shallow. And shallow things wither. Do you understand? Shallow things wither. I'm sure you remember the story of the parable of the sower, where Jesus said that seeds fell in different places. And one of the places where the seeds fell was on rocks. Do you see? And when the seeds fell on the rocks, they tried to develop. They tried to grow. But they did not have much earth. Do you see? Because you can only go so deep on a rock. So maybe it fell on a little sand that was on the rock, but sufficient to germinate, but not sufficient to sustain life. Do you see? And so it tried, and then it just the sun rose up, and then the whole thing just passed somewhere. Amen. And a lot of people have shallow Christian lives because they do not take it to where it really belongs. Do you understand? Now, what is the reason why someone will send his only begotten son to come and die for you? Do you see? And then after that, leave you here. First of all, it's very expensive. Do you see? It's very expensive. You know, if you went shopping and paid any high price for anything, I wouldn't expect you to leave it on the cart after. Isn't it? Why would you go into the shop and you know, first of all, take the time, drive the whole distance, go to the shop, buy whatever it is, pay for it, and leave it on the cart? You must have a very good reason for doing that, such as you forgot. Amen. That you forgot. That's the only good reason you can have for doing something like that. Hallelujah. But in our case, God has not forgotten us. God has left us here on purpose. Can I have an amen? God has left us here on purpose, even at the risk of us backsliding and falling into temptations and having daily Christian challenges that threaten our relationship with Him. Do you understand? But still, He has left us here. That leaving here must have a very, very good reason. And that reason, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, that we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Hallelujah. God created us in Christ Jesus unto good works. He had good works, good things for us to do. That is why He has created us here. Hallelujah. Even when you read further in Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible says He gave us gifts. He gave gifts to men. The gifts, the Bible says, some were apostles, some of the gifts were prophets, some were evangelists, some were pastors, and then teachers. And He said that the purpose for those gifts was to give us people who will perfect the saints for the work of ministry. Hallelujah. Amen. So it means that a pastor's job is to prepare the saints for the work of ministry. It means that the saints exist to do the work of ministry. And the pastor's job is to prep them for the work of ministry. Do you understand? And when the pastor is not doing that, it means the saints are not experiencing the gift. Do you see what I'm saying? Because what He said is that He gave gifts to men. And the gifts were pastors, apostles, prophets, and pastors, and teachers, and so on, for the perfecting of the saints for the work. Do you see what I'm saying? So the gift is in the person, isn't it? And what the person is supposed to do, what the person contains, is the gift. Are you getting it? And so until what the person is supposed to be doing comes out, it means the people have not started to experience the gift. Hallelujah. Amen. I tell you that the more we delve into working for God, the more longevity we will have for our Christian lives.
Amen.
The more meaningful it will be. Are you getting what I'm saying? The more we engage ourselves in things like what we are doing, like starting a new church.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The more exciting our Christian lives will be.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The less involved we are in working for God, the less meaning Christianity has.
Amen.
Because it is then reduced to a routine of going to church, going to a room in a building, singing a few fast songs, a few slow songs after that, you know, then giving your money, you see, it will actually be cheaper not to go to church. Because when you don't go to church, you don't have to give an offering. Do you understand? And then hearing a choir sing, you know, then the pastor will come and preach, and then after that, you share the grace and you go home, only to come back the following week for the same routine. How long do you think you can keep doing that? So it is not surprising to me as a pastor that some people find it very, very difficult to keep that routine, because in time it will lose its meaning. Are you getting what I'm saying? Unless that routine is connected to the purpose for which Christ has left us here. Unless that routine strengthens us for the purpose for which Christ has left us here. Unless that routine better equips us for the purpose for which Christ left us here. Unless that routine better informs us about the purpose for which Christ left us here. You see, that routine must be connected to your purpose. Do you see? It must be connected to something meaningful for you to keep doing it. Hallelujah. One of the reasons why it's easy to go to the same place for work 7 days a week is because what you do there is directly connected to paying your rent and paying. You see, the connection is clear. Do you understand? And that connection itself supplies motivation for continuity. Do you see? That you'll be able to continue doing it. Hallelujah. To the point where when you don't even feel like doing it, you still do it. Isn't it? Yeah, it lifts it. The meaning and the understanding of the purpose of going to work somehow lifts your going to work above, you know, little excuses. Do you understand? It lifts it above headaches. It lifts it above what? Tiredness. It lifts it above moodiness. It lifts it above what? I don't feel like seeing anybody today. I don't feel like talking to anybody today. I mean, do you have those kinds of days? I don't feel like talking to anybody days. Yeah. It's the day that comes after the last day of the week. Hallelujah. Yeah. You know, but it just elevates it. It just lifts it and places it above all those things. Even above, I don't have money to go to work. Yeah. Even above, I don't have money to go to work. You see someone who doesn't have money to go to work, but is still going to work. They are walking. They are calling colleagues to pick them up. They are making connections, making arrangements, because they have a deep understanding of what going to work does. Are you getting what I'm saying? Look, if your Christian life can find its purpose, do you understand? If you can connect your Christian life to the real reason why God has left us here, you understand? It will give you strength. It will energize you. Even on days when you don't feel like it, on days when you feel tired, on days when you feel out of it, on days when you'd rather stay in your bed. Do you have days like that?
Yeah.
When getting out of bed is really, really difficult. That's really, is it Sunday already? I mean, do we have to go to church again? Can I not just play a podcast and stay at home today? Especially when the weather is kind of cloudy, a little bit like this. Do you see, when it's like 7 o'clock in the morning looks like this, or 8 o'clock in the morning looks like this, and it feels like it's going to rain, and you know, you can start to smell a little bit of the dirt outside, you know, and you see, oh man. You want to pull the blanket over your head and just sleep. Hallelujah. But you'll be able to overcome all those things. Can I have an amen? Amen. So what we are doing is our blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. It is our life.
Oh, yeah.
It is our sustenance.
Yeah. Yeah.
What we are doing, starting a new church, is for you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Other people may come and benefit from it. Yeah. But the truth is that you are the person who is benefiting the most
Amen.
From this exercise.
Amen.
The Bible says one day when all of this is over, when we go to heaven, our works is what will follow us. Hallelujah. Our works, not our jobs, not our relationships, but our works, what we did for God. Do you know why that is going to count? Because that was the only reason why you were left here. Do you see what I'm saying? That is why that is what will count. The reason why God is going to ask Christians about their work is because that is the reason why he sent his only begotten son to come. That no one should perish but have everlasting life. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, and then when you got everlasting life, the reason why he left you here is so you can help to bring more people to him. So when you die and it's all over and you have come, he's not going to ask you any other question because that was not the reason why you're here. You're not here to have a job. Do you think you're here on this earth to have a job? No! You have a job rather because you are here. You need to pay for being here. That's why you have to have a job. Do you understand? But having the job is not the reason why you are here. Hallelujah. God didn't put us here just to be here and to have children and to chase the children around life until they go out of our homes and then go and make their own homes and then they also start the same cycle and have children. I mean, what would be the difference between us and rabbits? And crabs. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Yeah?
And so we need to believe that we're doing the right thing. Hallelujah. You know, when I look back at my Christian life, I realize that what has kept me is my constant involvement in building something for God and helping God's people to stay in the faith and to stay strong in the faith. That has kept me strong. Do you see what I'm saying? That has kept me strong. As I have tried, I've never even tried to say I'm trying to be a strong Christian. Never. I don't think I can even think of one day when I say, you know, I'm going to do this and this and this to be a strong Christian. No. I prayed because I had to pray for people. Do you see what I'm saying? And praying for people made me strong.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying? Even I had to read the Bible sometimes even because I had to preach.
Yeah.
So I had to read the Bible and I had to know God more in order to point him out to others.
Yeah.
In the process, I got to know him more and more and more and more. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. I remember very clearly a time in my Christian life when I'll be going out to visit people and I sit down and I study the Bible for that day because when I go, I need to be able to share something with this person. I tell you, so I will sit down and I will study the Bible to know something so I can share it. Then I would go to the person's house. You see that thing? Yeah? She said, well, I used to say, yeah?
Wow.
As you share verses with people, God will bless you with one of them. Yeah, you share. You just be sharing verses. And then God will be sharing something else. Can I have an amen? Are you getting what I'm saying? So this exercise is our blessing, Zola. It is our blessing. Don't be deceived by what it takes. Because sometimes you can be so tired and exhausted that you can mislabel what you are doing.
Oh, yeah.
Do you understand? You can let your tiredness and exhaustion label for you what you are doing. Are you getting what I'm saying? But you have to learn to separate your tiredness from the thing that you are doing. And to let the thing stand on its own and say that, listen, this is a good thing. And rather let that thing feed your life with energy
Amen.
To do it.
Amen.
Amen. Are you getting what I'm saying? So I believe that God has blessed us. This is our opportunity.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Many times when you join a church, it's already there. But when God decides to use you to form the foundation of a church, something that someone will call their church later on, in some time to come, someone is going to proudly point to your church in Rancho and say that, hey, this is my church. This is my church. Yeah, they're going to be pointing to this. Oh, I'm going to my church. They'll be inviting people. They say, let's go to our church. And they are referring to that thing that God used you to create, which didn't look like much. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So let's be encouraged.
Amen.
Amen. And let's press on.
Amen.
And let's fight on.
Amen.
Because this is the will of God.
Amen.
This is what makes Christianity meaningful. Hallelujah. This is what makes Christianity meaningful. And the Bible says, he that gathereth the harvest reaps wages. Have you seen that verse before? John chapter 4. And verse 34, John chapter 4 and verse 34, John chapter 4, John, hey iPad, okay, John chapter 4, verse 34, wow, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work, hallelujah, he said that's what I eat. That's what satisfies me. This is Jesus Christ. Do you understand? That the real work that I was sent to do, that is what, when I'm doing it, that is when I have satisfaction.
Wow.
This is Jesus Christ talking. Hallelujah. Yeah, because people were trying to give him food to eat. They were trying to give him some kebabs. Somebody had brought KFC and so many other things that they were trying to get him to eat. And he said, oh no, I'm not going to eat these things. Do you see? And then they said, oh, someone must have brought him some food. And he said, no, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish it. Do you understand? Then verse 35, he said, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Verse 36 is the verse I wanted you to see. He says, and he that reapeth receiveth what? Wages. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And gathereth fruit unto eternal life, or life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can you see how he says that he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathers fruit unto life eternal. Hallelujah. So anybody who is engaged in the work of involved with harvesting, do you see, when you start a church, what you have done is created a place where the harvest will be put. Do you understand what I'm saying? Every time you start a new church, you have just opened another barn. Now you're going to go and bring the harvest or direct the harvest into this place. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is why we need to start more churches.
Amen.
Because the harvest is plenty. It says the fields are already white.
Yeah.
Just plenty.
Yeah.
So we need to create more places to put them.
Yeah.
So when you start a new church, you have just created another place where the harvest or some part of the harvest can be directed.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Then he says that the one who reaps is going to receive wages. Wages. Wages, and then he's going to gather fruit unto life eternal. So it sounds to me like the part of the benefit, or the benefit is in two parts.
Yeah.
There is a part that you will see when you go to heaven. That is the part about eternal life.
Yeah.
Do you understand? The fruit you will see when you go to heaven. But I see that there is also a part that you seem to experience here. It says you will receive wages because you are working for God. Hallelujah. That is why I believe that the Christians who work for God and who do so much and do their best for God often don't have to pray for a whole lot of things. In fact, you are more likely to have more solutions. Do you understand? To problems in your life than someone who spends the whole day trying to get that solution. Who spends his whole Christian life traveling from camp to camp,
yeah,
convention to convention, church to church, place to place, chasing every man of God around, drinking holy water, holier water, holiest water. Do you understand? Yeah. You see, showering with oil. Do you understand? Yeah. You see, showering with oil. That means you connect your shower directly to oil. And all forms of oil. Cold, warm, hot, and extra hot. Do you understand? All kinds of oil. Olive oil, palm oil, you know, canola oil, vegetable oil, almond oil. Do you see? Then olive oil, then virgin olive oil, extra virgin oil. I mean. Yeah. You tell me, those of you who have jobs and who work, do you ever have to beg for your wages? It just comes to you. Wages are something you are entitled to for working. As you have worked, it's your due. The person who has to come and beg for wages is the one who doesn't work there. Like me, if I come to your workplace, for me to get $20 out of your boss, I have to come and beg. What do you think? I have to come and beg. I have to come and use all kinds of gimmicks. I have to concoct different stories. Do you understand? I have to come up and make up stories and lie and do all kinds of things just to get your boss to give me $20. But you don't have to do that. At the appropriate time, it just rolls itself. Sometimes you find the people finding you. You see, there's somebody at work who has everybody's check. And they'll be trying to find everybody. They'll be asking, have you seen this person? Or have you seen this person? They'll be sharing the checks around. Or they'll shoot the money straight into your account. And you don't even ask. It just comes. Because you worked. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
This is one of the ways to have your needs met. I'm telling you, what I just preached to you is a prosperity sermon. How to prosper and how to do well. Because when you take care of God's business, God will take care of your business. If you make the coming of Christ meaningful and sensible, God will make your life also sensible. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So let's be excited about the opportunity. And let's put ourselves to it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a bit of a race to get here. Amen. Pastor Charles, you have to talk to the people to move the time to 4, I tell you. Yeah. Do you see? Because we'll be racing crazy, to get here. And today I even missed some exit somewhere. At a point, I didn't even know where I was. I said, I can't afford this. And that's exactly what I'm doing. You know. So we made some U-turn somewhere, and then we found the road, and then we came up here. Hallelujah. So it is an amazing thing, but it is God's blessing.
Amen.
And it is possible.
Amen.
It will work.
Amen.
And it will do well.
Amen.
I said it will work.
Amen.
And it will do well.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, let me tell you one or two more things before we close. When God sends you out to do something like this for him, God expects you to bring one element to bear on what you are doing. Hallelujah. And this one element is the element of faith. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
This one element is what? The element of what? Faith. Everybody say faith.
Faith.
Say faith.
Faith.
Say faith.
Faith.
Yes. Now, when you find your purpose as a Christian and you start to apply yourself to it and you say, I'm going to please God. I'm going to work for God. I'm going to do something for God. The next important thing you need to pick up is faith. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says without faith, let's read it. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11. And verse 6, the Bible says, without faith, It is impossible to please him. Hallelujah. Can you see that? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Hallelujah. Now, when you have a job, the next important thing is pleasing the person who has hired you. Isn't it? Your future in any job is as bright as how much you please the one who has hired you to do that job. Amen. Amen. If you don't please the one who has hired you to do that job, your future in that job is not very bright. Do you see what I'm saying? So if God has hired us, if we have accepted to work for God and to build something for God, then pleasing God must be number one on our list. We must want to please God. We must seek to please God. And all our efforts must go into pleasing him. Amen. Isn't it? Yeah. Now, the Bible is saying, according to this verse, that without faith, pleasing God is impossible. Wow. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Without faith, you cannot please God. Without faith, God will not be happy with us. That means if we come here to Rancho and we say we are building a church for God, we say we are starting a new church, but we do not have faith, it will not please God. God will not be happy with us. Can I have an amen? God will not be happy with us if we do not have faith. Amen. Look at chapter 10. You just read chapter 11 and verse 6. Just back up to chapter 10 and verse 38. And let's read that together. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. Have you found it?
Yes.
Let's read it together. 1, 2, 3, go. He says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Hallelujah. My soul shall have what? No pleasure in him. My soul shall have no pleasure in him. So it means that if we do not have faith, God will not be happy with us. Hallelujah. That is why we must have faith.
Amen.
Amen. When you look in the Bible, you see that Jesus seemed to respond a lot to faith. Anywhere God saw faith, he seemed to be pleased with the people. Do you understand? One of the reasons why God was so pleased with Abraham was not because Abraham was a perfect person. Do you understand? Abraham had all kinds of problems too. Do you see what I'm saying? One of the things Abraham did, which I am sure that if you heard that anybody had done that, you would not be happy. He went to a certain city, and when somebody showed some interest in his wife, he told his wife to lie to them and say that she's my sister. And then he watched, and the person came to take his wife away.
Wow.
Would you be happy with somebody like that? Yeah. That was Abraham. Did it twice. Hallelujah. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So Abraham was not a perfect person. He was also afraid. Even though God was with him and all that. I mean, he was afraid. He actually said, look, these people, I know them in this city. If I don't say that my wife is my sister and make her available to them, they're going to kill me. Do you understand? Yeah. Now, most of you ladies would like to have a husband who would die for you. I don't know if it means you'd like to be a widow. Do you see?
Wow.
You'd like to have a husband who would die for you. But a husband who would lie, rather, and say that you are not even the wife. Just to save his skin. Zola. That doesn't sound like the dream. That's not the dream you had. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. And yet God was so pleased with Abraham. Hallelujah. The Bible calls him the father of faith. Hallelujah. God was so pleased with Abraham because Abraham was fully persuaded against all odds that whatever God had promised would come to pass. That what God has said he would do, God will do. Abraham was just so convinced about that, that nothing, he would consider nothing. All the odds, all the things that made or provided him reason to doubt, he refused to consider them. Do you understand? One of them, according to the Bible, was the deadness of Sarah's womb. His wife's womb was dead because she was an old woman. You know? Post-menopausal. Do you understand? Yeah. She was not a candidate at all for a pregnancy and even to have a baby. And so you see, one of the things that God did before Sarah could get pregnant was to give her strength. So according to Hebrews, it says, by faith, Sarah received strength to conceive, which means that up until then, it was not possible. Totally impossible. Are you getting what I'm saying? So Abraham was living with that and he was aware of it. And then he himself was a very old man. Do you see? But he said, God said, I'm going to make you a father. Yes, I believe. I believe. I believe it. Because God said it. I believe it. I am sure that when he started gathering little things like a crib and so on, some of his neighbors were just wondering. Can you imagine you live in the same neighborhood with Abraham and Sarah and then you're invited to a baby shower? So we are having a baby shower. Say, for who? Say, for Abraham and Sarah. Say, no, what are you talking? Is this some grandchild or some great grandchild or something? Say, oh no, we ourselves. What are you talking about? Somebody was having a garage sale and Abraham happened to be passing by. And then Abraham goes there and says he's interested in the crib. He wants to buy the crib. And the neighbor is wondering, what are you going to do with it? Is it your great-grandchild or someone is about to have a child or something like that? Abraham said, oh no, it's for my own child that is coming. Yeah. And then the neighbor started to think that the old man has gone off. You get it? Yeah, he's got Alzheimer's or some kind of, you know, dementia and some disease like that. Do you see what I'm saying? And yet it was faith. Because faith can make you look silly, can make you look diseased, can make you look abnormal. Do you understand? But this is exactly what God liked about Abraham. That nothing seemed to stop the guy. He said, he believed that what God has promised, that is what is going to happen. Hallelujah. That is what is going to happen. So when you read Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 and verse 20. Romans chapter 4. Wow. I'm blessed already. Amen. Romans chapter 4. Have you found Romans chapter 4? And let's read from around let's start from verse 18. All right. Or maybe verse 17. As it is written, you know, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Can you see that? Verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. He's talking about Abraham. Look at verse 16. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Do you get it? That's Abraham has been introduced. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Can you see that? Verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope. Hallelujah. The scripture says Abraham believed in hope against the rules of hope. Against the rules of having hope. When do people have hope? People have hope when they can see a light at the end of the tunnel. Isn't it? When they have reason. People need reason to have hope. People need reason to have hope. You know, people need to have some reason to have hope. Hallelujah. Amen. See, if you were here and you started to think or remember that you left something boiling in your house. Do you understand? What is the reason why you would have hope that someone will go and turn it off? It must be because you probably know that your landlord or your roommate is coming home this morning. If you remember that your new roommate is coming home, he worked last night and is coming home this morning, that will give you hope. Wow. Do you understand? Yeah. If you were to remember that Amy told you that she left something in your house when she was last there and she'll be swinging by there before she comes to church, that memory will give you hope. So you see, hope needs substance. Hope needs to sit on something. Do you understand? Hope needs to have seen something. Hope needs to have a basis. And the Bible says against the rules of hope, because Abraham just had no basis. Do you understand? Against the rules of hope, the only thing Abraham had was that an invisible God, a God whom he couldn't point out to anybody, a God whose address he couldn't give to anyone, a God whom he couldn't prove he had seen or heard, has told him that he's going to be the father of many nations. You can't even announce it. You see what I'm saying? You can't even announce it. So it is against hope. But the Bible says, against hope, he believed in hope. Can you see that? That he might become the father of many nations according to that which is spoken. So shall thy seed be. Hallelujah. He believed it. He said, look, I will become the father of many nations. I will become the pastor of a mega church. I will belong to the church where a room is full of people. He believed it because God said it. God said it. God said it. God said it. And he believed it. Hallelujah. That I will become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be. And so verse 19 says, not being weak in faith. Because sometimes you can have faith, but you're weak. You're weak in faith. Do you understand? He says, not being weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Do you understand? That means it is when people are weak in faith that they give considerations to so many things. Do you understand? Because he was not weak in faith, he didn't consider so many things. That means those who consider those things are usually weak in faith. So those who consider how many people came, those who consider, is it not the same guys who were at the LA church this morning who came here in the afternoon? We could have stayed there and he preached. Okay, why don't we just stay there and you preach to us a second sermon? Because pastor, we see that it is just a second sermon you want to preach. So you will give you the time just after the LA service. Give us some water to drink after that. Just preach a second sermon and we go home. Do we have to come this far to come and do this? Are you getting it? Do we have to do all this? People who do not have faith or who have weak faith give considerations to all the reasons why not. And so Abraham, not being weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was 100 years old. He didn't consider his age. Do you understand? Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Verse 20 says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. He refused to consider all the reasons why not, all the things that will stop him. Hallelujah. If we're going to work for God successfully, if we're going to build a successful church for God, we must not consider the things that make it impossible. Are you getting what I'm saying? We must not look at the things that make it impossible. We must look at the things that make it possible. We must look at all the possibilities. We must not look at the negatives. We must look at the positives. We must look at the fact that God has called us. God has done it many times for us to see. And God can do it again. And God will do it again. Hallelujah. And so he staggered not. Hallelujah. He staggered not. When someone is staggering, it means they are not walking straight. It means they are walking a little, they are falling a little. It means they are standing a little and they are dropping a little. They are moving a little bit to the left, then they are moving a little bit to the right. That is people, when people are staggering along. But Abraham was not staggering in faith. The Bible said he staggered not at the promise. When you stagger at the promise of God, it means you believe it sometimes and other times you wonder. It means sometimes you think it will work. Other times you just wonder, do you see what I'm saying? You are staggering. But Abraham did not stagger. Hallelujah. He did not stagger through unbelief, but he was strong in faith. And rather, he was giving glory to God. Amen. So one of the signs of strong faith is how we give glory to God. Do you understand? How we rejoice. That is why when we come to church, our praise and worship time should be exciting. That's why everyone must praise God as though we really believe. Because that is what it really is. We must believe, and our faith and in what we are doing must show in our enthusiasm about it. And our excitement about it. The energy we bring to doing it. I tell you, when you are really into something, that passion retires your tiredness. Have you caught yourself doing something you really like doing, even though you were very tired?
Yeah.
You see that some energy seems to come. Because you're about to do something you really like doing. Can I have an amen? Are you hearing what I'm sharing with you today? So he staggered not at the promise of God, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Verse 21 says, being fully persuaded. He was fully persuaded. Ask your neighbor, are you fully persuaded? Are you fully persuaded? He was fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Hallelujah. What he had promised, he was able also to perform. Hallelujah. Abraham said, look, if God said it, he can do it. God said it, he can do it. I know if you look at me, it will look impossible. If you look at Sarah, it will look impossible. If you look at so many factors, it will look impossible. If you consider our age, it will look impossible. Do you understand? He said, if you consider medical science, it will look impossible. If you listen to all the wrong people, it will look impossible. But instead, he said, look at God. Yes?
Wow.
Come on, come. Hallelujah. Yeah. He said, if you look at God, if you look at other things, it will be impossible. Do you understand? Look, make no mistake. Abraham really had to work against so many things. Do you understand? See, when you grow older, I mean, I don't know, but somebody told me recently, because I'm not old enough. Yeah. But older people say that every day you feel a new pain somewhere. Yeah. So I'm not there yet. So I don't know, but just last week I played golf with a certain man. He was 73 years old and he's retired, you know, and he told me that every day there is a new pain somewhere. Yeah. He said, you get up and you overcome the new pain every day. There's some new pain everywhere. somewhere there's some new pain. Yeah. Do you see? Yep. See, if you have conversations with older people, if you visit older people, when you visit them and you sit down and you settle, once you exchange welcome and so on and so forth, then the next topic is they'll start to tell you all the different places where they hurt. You get it? They start to tell you, well, except that recently I saw that my toe was twitching a little bit. I've been well by the grace of God. We thank God so much, except that recently when I walk, I feel a little something over here. It's a major, you know, conversation thing. You talk to older people. Dolores is like that. Yeah. And when we get there, I guess we'll know what it's about. Hallelujah. Yeah. So Abraham, every day, he had a reminder that, man, you are old. Forget about this dream. Forget about this idea of having a baby. Say, look, Sarah is going to die anyway. Don't put her at risk. Don't put this old lady through a pregnancy. You're going to kill her. You see, and he had to be debating that every day. Every day, Abraham had this thing just coming into his head. Because you see, it's not just something that comes into your head. Your body reminds you. The physical pain is there. And you yourself, you can see that you have become old. Hallelujah. You could even remove all the mirrors in your house so you forget what you look like. Your body will remind you that, listen, you may not see it, but I'm here. Yeah. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. You see, you sit down and you try to get up, and you see you have to get up slow motion type of getting up. You know? And when you complain, your hip is going to tell you, what did you expect? Do you know how long I've been working? This is 100-year-old hip. Take your time for me. If you wanted to get somewhere fast, you should have left earlier. So we're going to take it easy. Hey, you have all these announcements going on in your body every day. But Abraham decided not to look at those things. Because he was fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. And I want you today to be fully persuaded that what God has begun here, he will perform it. Abraham believed exactly that. He said, God is able to perform what he has promised. What God has said he would do here. Jesus is the one who sent us into the whole world to preach the gospel and to start churches and to plant churches. It pleases God. Every time another church is planted, God is happy. Heaven is happy. They say, wow, it's great that Jesus went down to the earth. Hallelujah. And you will see in time that God is going to bless us for it. The Bible says God was so impressed with Abraham's faith. Do you see in verse 22 that therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness? That means God said, you know, the guy has a shortfall in righteousness. Let's make it up with his faith. The faith he has, let's convert his faith into righteousness units. Hallelujah. Because God was looking at Abraham and realized that this Abraham, his lying and all these problems, they had actually cost him in righteousness. Yeah. Because a righteous man does not give his wife to some neighbor or some king, you know, so that he can be safe. You know, so his righteousness column units had really dropped. And God said, look, the guy doesn't have righteousness, but he has faith. And the thing is that when you have faith, you please God. So God said, yeah, I know he may be falling short in righteousness, but I like him. I like him because he has faith. He pleases me because he believes. So why don't we convert some of the faith into righteousness units? So God topped up his righteousness with his faith. And Abraham was sailing through. Hallelujah. I want you to have faith. I said, have faith. Have faith in what God has begun. Have faith in the new beginnings. Have faith in this small church. Have faith in this baby church. It may look like a joke. It may look like a funny something we are doing. But have faith that he who has begun a good work, he is able to complete it. I said God will complete his work. Hallelujah. They will start coming in one by one. one after the other. And you're going to wonder, where did they come from? Where have all these people been? And you will see that God will fulfill it. God will do his work. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, have faith in God. Tell him, without faith, you can't please God. Say, you need faith to work for God. Say, faith is important for pleasing God. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we are grateful. Thank you. Everybody just bow your heads and just pray. Just take 2 minutes just to pray and thank God once again for this great work that has begun. And say, Lord, I thank you. I'm grateful to you for this great work that has begun. I'm grateful to you for what you have started here. Lord, I'm grateful to you for the privilege of being a part. I'm privileged to see the beginning of it. I'm privileged to see the starting of a great work. And Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We're grateful to you, Lord. Makabolo moshata balababa. Makafalababalababa shata kabalababa. Oh, yes, Lord, we thank you. Yes. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you. Thank you.